hurt you, man. Thanks for what I'm doing those labels for me.
You believe that?
You feel the anointing?
You told me you were going to say
goodbye to the anointing. I'm going to sit in your chair. I work
five something. Yeah, you're going to feel more than that in a minute.
Direct line.
That means we get back to
the here in the order of
yeah.
They more than pay for the mercy, and we keep 800.
You are not worthy.
I think pretty quick. I think probably next week, but I'm not sure.
See, wait.
Anyway. If that question had to do with should you or shouldn't you make up some stock for Carolyn, the answer is if you can, yes, you
already got it.
Great. Yeah. Because it'll be, if I ordered them today, it would be 2 weeks before I got them.
Well, Tom's back. Anybody notice?
Was he gone?
He was gone, yeah. Here comes Sue. Things are in order. Ollie's coming home? Or are they going to keep him?
No, I don't know about that.
Yeah?
Last night better.
Yeah. Day to day, huh?
Yes.
His attitude all right? He's maintaining?
He's fine.
He got the hotel down there where he's at worked up? Doctor's hotel. Let's go to Galatians 3. Anybody have anything happened in the last 2-3 days? Anything? Being as you are the epistles of God, who carry this life in you, there would be some expectation that you'd be seeing something. That's what I would expect. That's what I expect when I hear this stuff. You got anything to be joyful about? You're not on fire. You're on a slow burn.
Not any mercy. I'm not in the hospital. My mother's having a minor surgery this morning for cancer.
Oh, yeah.
Keep her in your prayer.
Let's start. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?
What chapter?
This is chapter 3 in Galatians. You there?
Yeah.
Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? These are folks who witnessed and saw and experienced, were of that time, this crucifixion, this horrible... Anybody see the Passion of Christ? That whole drama was played out in their time, in their life. They saw it. They heard it. It was part of them. And yet they're bewitched by what? To not obey the truth. And obeying the truth is what has kept you from remaining under that you might be in the position to hear God. And that's what obedience is. Obedience means to remain under. Do you have a flash, or is that just you're paying attention?
No, I'm not paying attention. I was thinking about that scene.
Yeah.
Passion.
How dramatic it had to be. It's dramatic to watch the movie. I mean, it's totally engaging. And we're 2,000 years later. The movies are pretty powerful, but the scene, the reality, and their entire lifestyle affected by the events of those times. And yet they're still bewitched to not remain under. And I would say the same here. What has bewitched you that you do not obey the truth? Remain under to hear. And that's why I ask the question, what is happening? We sit and we hear these things. Do they remain in this room as in a bubble? Or is this part of your everyday, all-day being because we are being saved all the day long. We haven't been saved in one moment of time, and now we're once saved, always saved, in that phenomena. We are always being saved by His life. And we bear about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus, which is a continuum. And in the past, I've quizzed Ole about, well, Ole, I believe this cross stuff and everything. Now let's get on to the goodies. Let's go to the other side and talk about all the benefits of the believer. And he would never do it. And I used to not understand why. But now I do understand why. Because that's not our business. What God decides to do or not do after picking up the cross is His business. Ours is to remain under, to wait, to never leave the position of the mercy seat. We stay there. We don't get there and say, now I've arrived, and then put back on our own cloaks of righteousness, jump off, and go have a good life. So the discipleship never stops. It is a continuum. It's in the aorist tense. It's the boom, 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 boom. We're always being saved. So foolish Galatians. It is foolish to walk away from this once you've heard it. And that's why I said yesterday, if there's something you need to do, if you're not ready for this, no shame. Go away. Do whatever you have to do. Do not walk through the door unprepared and knowing the consequences, because it's total. We're not trying Jesus out. He's not an item on the shelf. So this only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And that's the temptation. I've heard in the Spirit. I loved it. It's the best thing I've ever heard. Now I'm going to take it and see what I can do with it. Because it's great. Yeah, now I can work it. You know, this is what's been missing in my life. I didn't have the Spirit. Now I got the Spirit. Now I'm going to go and be successful in my endeavors.
I'm sorry. When you said that, I just realized that we think about our life as a series of starts and stops. You know, I start doing this and stop. You know, I'm here at Bible study, then it's going to stop. I'm going to go do something else, and it's going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same thing that, you know, what you were just saying, you know, that, okay, now I've heard this wonderful thing, now I'm going to go out and it'll do something new with it.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything really new, and I wonder if that's not part of what here under means, is that everything's really the same. It stayed the same. You didn't get any better, and nothing that got stopped or started. The only question is, are you trying to look at only one thing at a time, or are you trying to look at life at the whole time?
Yeah, and where have you set your affections? On the things of eternity? Or the grand things of this world, and then gaining those things. And there's some really cool stuff in the world, no doubt about it. Fine gold watches, you know, some cool shoes. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in the world. It means nothing, but where do you set your affections? A new computer, you know, a better sound system, some good glasses that I can see better. I mean, it's endless. What can bewitch you and draw you away from that steady, eternal truth where the real treasures lie? But we get bewitched by the temporary treasures. And the world has managed to make them quite shiny and attractive. So, but without seeing that, you get bewitched. You fall for it. We love deception.
And they're always new and better, just like we think, gee, I can always...
Yeah.
Satisfied, then you want more.
I will
become newer and more better.
Yeah. If you're in the merchandising business and sales are low, you put new on your package. Sales go up. You know, everybody wants something improved. Yeah.
This question, who has bewitched you that you should not know the truth? It occurs to me that that's a question that appears throughout the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cain kills Abel, and God says, why is your countenance fallen? don't you know the sin offerings of the door? Why are you not believing the truth? Why do you not see that the perfect offering is right in front of you? Even though you killed your brother.
Yeah, you did what you thought you needed to do.
Let not your heart be troubled. You know, your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. It's throughout the Bible, it's just this question of, are you bewitched or not bewitched?
Yeah.
Do you know the truth, or have you been pulled away from the truth to believe some lie? And the truth is that you're at rest, at peace, and that God's in control.
Amen.
Now, why do you not believe that? Why do you not believe that right now, today?
Because this motor turns in me, and I see something that attracts me. And
you believe some lie.
Yeah, and that'll give me life. Yeah.
And it's like the thing about labor to enter into the rest. I mean, the natural at-rest state is at rest, and you have to make an effort.
Yeah. You know, it probably, if you can take it deep enough, it goes to the fear of death. That's wound into our being so tight, fear of death. And if we get close to it, if it just barely touches us, we cringe, and we go to look for life in something. Doesn't matter where. We'll take it under any green tree, anything that promises a little something. Doesn't even have to be a lot sometimes, just a little something. Anything but that death, that unknown, that dark, seemingly dark place.
Darren, you're talking about death. I wanted to, this is off subject. Darren's mother... It came back cancer really bad. She's a young lady. His mom. So I wanted to tell you guys that.
Yeah.
Her name is Diane.
Okay.
All right.
Speaking of fear of death.
Yeah. Well, Tammy Baker was on TV last night talking about this very thing.
63 pounds.
Yeah.
She's put on or took off.
That's what she weighs.
63 pounds.
Holy smokes.
And she said the same thing. We don't know how to die. We're afraid. And she's, you know,
she expressed
says,
her fear.
Yeah, she said, "I'm afraid. I don't know. I don't know what it is." You know, and we as believers sometimes throw it out there casually. When it knocks on your door, it wakes you up and you go, "Whoa, let's face it." And it coming to all of us, you know, sooner or later. But fearing death is not where it should be. Fearing God is where we should be, because death is, you know, here and gone. But yeah, we do pray for her recovery and or the revelation of him. And this is the best time. Any time you're pressed up against the wall, that's when the bewitching kind of loses its power, because nothing else has any meaning anymore. Now life has meaning, and now you search for the substance of life. So I would spend a lot of time, you know, talking real things with your mom or anyone. Tom's dad just died, and he's going to a memorial tonight and going to speak and say some things of, hopefully, of import.
I hope so.
Yeah. Because this is when your death has effect on other people. You're dead. You know, you're gone doing whatever. But now those who remain are there to benefit and to see and stop the bewitching, so that their eyes are open there, because now you're able to hear. Death has faced you.
And what do you believe?
And you find out what you believe. If you
It says very clearly, greater is the day of one's death than the day of one's birth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's a day for rejoicing. Do you believe?
Amen.
It?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool what they do in New Orleans. They celebrate when someone dies. And that's the right picture. I mean, you don't have to go out and dance necessarily, but it's the right concept, because
it's a time where we all stop in our tracks and realize our own mortality and can celebrate that person's life or whatever.
Yeah.
And it tends to bring people together.
Death always speaks to me every single time in the same way. And every time it's all about love. It's all about giving. And I'm always convicted by what I don't give. I'm always convicted that I could love more if I weren't so caught up in the things of the world that have bewitched me and drawn me and say to me, it's important that you be here, important that you be there. So I'll ignore someone that I care about to take care of that which has bewitched me. And then I realize what a foolish Galatian I am, you know, to have fallen for it. And so death in that sense has never lost its importance. And the death of Christ, what does it say to us? I mean, that's where your message is clarified. And his death has rung throughout history. Well, God designed his death. He didn't choose it. He sought to go another way. And yet he was obedient to God because he knew God's wisdom was greater than anything that he possessed. And so we are in the same place. We know that in our guts. We know that God's wisdom is greater than anything we can conceive. So we yield to it. And we go back to here, and in our right minds, we remain under. We don't fall for every shiny object that attracts our attention, of which there are thousands. And that's why to leave here without something that carries on, like I say, we can't make this meeting an idol, which we'll make everything an idol. There's nothing we will not make an idol. That's what we do. So let's crush that and see as your heart beats, you know, you are being saved all the day long. And that's you are in the aorta tense of salvation, and you walk with this newness of life, you know, because you are remaining under by your obedience. You're not falling and being bewitched by, look at your own things, by what you're being bewitched by, not what other people, it's you. So by that, he will manifest himself in your mortal flesh. He will reveal whose life it is that you're living. It's not your own, because you have surrendered to him. And in that surrender, eye has not seen or ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that wait or that love him. Amen. Those are the things of the kingdom that are of immeasurable importance. They will never leave us. These little shiny objects are just flashes in the pan, mean nothing. So set your affections on the things by remaining under. You don't have to do anything. You just remain under. God will do it all.
Amen.
He's delighted to do it all. He's waiting to do it all. Wait with him. Joy with him. Have peace with him. It never ends.
When it's all gone, the only thing that's left after you're dead is what you've done for other people.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not trying to say that makes going out and finding some way to serve other people anything wonderful. What I'm saying is that's all that you really leave behind. I know this because it's what I think of my dad. You know, if your total life was involved in, you know, getting that little glitzy watch and those, you know, all those other things, you didn't leave very much behind, if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this hearing under, you know, is how you not only find out, you know, is God doing anything, but it's also if you find out if there's anybody who needs anything around you, anything if you're going to leave behind, because that's,
yeah,
you know, the memories are it.
And you don't have to worry about how it happens. That's sure. The beauty of it. It happens because God happens. You don't take this and now say, now I'm going to love more. That's what I do. Hey, I don't love enough, so I'm going to look around for somebody to love. No, forget that. You remain under. You surrender. You recognize your position with Christ. I mean, that's a helpless place. Mm-hmm. Feet nailed, arms nailed. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't doing nothing. But now God can do all things. That's so liberating for the beast.
Amen.
You're free now to be. It's just, it's a joy. And we walk in that joy. We walk in it. It's carried with us every room we walk in, every step we take, every mile we drive. And we don't get so worked up about somebody who cuts us off. Hey, we're in a hurry, so what?
Why is your countenance fallen?
Yeah.
Why are you not enjoying?
Amen. You don't need to kill your brother.
And stop and identify the reason. Why are you not enjoying?
Yeah, dig there.
Look at it.
Yeah.
And drop it.
Yeah. Yeah. See what it is. Understand it's... And go, ha, you laugh at it.
That's right.
We laugh at it. It's hilarious, actually. What we try and take our freedom.
Well, when you see how stupid you are, it is hilarious.
Exactly.
It is hilarious. That, yeah. Oh, my God, I believe that lie?
Yeah.
Again?
What a foolish Galatian I must be. Yeah. So you,
it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Gary, you said something about every morning we have our Bible study, you shouldn't turn this into another false idol.
Right.
And I've found sometimes every time I come to Bible study, my mind, I felt like something was going to be revealed of great import every morning.
It never happened.
And what's interesting is so much can be revealed of import or importance of Him during the entire day.
You know where, for you, it's out there pulling weeds. That is a fabulous parable. You pull weeds all day or whatever you do.
Well, I do more than that.
You do more than that. But that's one of the best parables there is. Because those weeds are what's faking it. Those are the bewitching things. Many times the weeds look attractive. Yeah. And they look, oh, there's a pretty thing. Well, it turns out it's a weed. But it looked good. Well, that's a parable of the wheat and the chaff. Sometimes you can't tell the difference, but we're all pulling weeds.
But maybe sometimes when you come to Bible study, there's theory here.
Yeah.
And then when you walk out the door, then can I apply what I've,
yeah,
I've learned or unlearned in here?
Yeah.
Instead of just and have
that's
perfection and wisdom revealed to me outside, mm-hmm, of the real world, 24 hours a day instead of just during this 30-minute session.
And that's for as many as are of the works of the law. If you're under the works of the law, if you take this stuff and turn it into a law, then you are under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written to do in the book of the law to do them. If you try and make spirit law, then you're cursed. And we do. That's the eerie thing. We do that. So, hey, now we know that we do it. I've said it. Okay, now you can repent. And if you repent, it's as if you've done the entire law. How beautiful that is. Because I cannot do very many. If I can do three or four laws, I'm doing good.
You know, you just brought to life the scripture, it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
Because if I'm sitting here and I'm listening to information, and I'm gathering information, and I'm going to then figure out how to use it, every one of those statements is I.
Yeah.
It is the evil one.
Amen.
It's not what we're talking about. I must decrease.
Amen.
That He may increase. Right. If I'm listening, I'm looking to use it.
That's right. That's why when you walk in here, emptiness is your state, not anticipation of what I can gain.
Amen.
Anticipation of what I can lose. Because I got plenty. I got more than I need. I want less.
I'm the problem.
Yeah, I'm the problem. Give me the Jesus or give me death or whatever. Let's make that happen.
You can almost fly. We can put that on a fly.
Yeah. A new bumper sticker. Like the one, the only good Christian's a dead Christian.
That's true.
Simple, isn't it? I told a policeman that one time. Sitting at 7-Eleven, he was sitting next to me, and I looked at him, and I said, you know, the only good Christian is a dead Christian. He goes, rolled up his window.
It wasn't in upstate New York.
No, and it was a long time ago. You could get away with it. Yeah.
And that's why we had so much trouble getting you cleared for a license.
Yeah. Seemed appropriate at the time. Do you have something to say?
I was just going to say probably one of the hardest things for all of us to do is to remain dead.
Amen.
Yeah. Paul says you've been crucified with Christ. The problem is we don't want to stay dead.
Right.
Because every day we have an opportunity to die to ourselves.
That's right.
And be glorified. But what happened is because we're so used to edifying and building up ourselves.
Right.
Till we deny that we died.
That's
and
right.
We live.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea, because once I lose that identity, it doesn't matter anymore.
Amen.
It's not about me, it's all about him.
Right.
And he already knows what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, how he wants to do it. All I got to do is just be available.
Right.
I love the deal because I don't have to think.
That's right.
I mean, it's his
That's
deal.
Right. And then,
you know, it's his deal. And so it's a freedom to be set free in Christ, because whatever we do that has any value, it's going to be because he has done it through us.
Amen.
And so when we come simple. To that point to recognize that, and we can not just say it with our mouth, but let it be lived out in our lives, then people around us who don't know Christ will mingle around us more and more because they want to find out what is it that makes you the way you are.
Amen. Or not. I mean, some
it's,
people
will
run.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's magnetic. Yeah.
Now, what's this cross step? Said, I'm out of here.
That's yeah. Because the word says he didn't come to you. Now he came to the vice.
Yeah.
There are going to be those that are drawn. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And they'll be
you
the
can't help
run,
it.
So.
Yeah.
I really like what you said. The key there is just get rid of it.
Yeah.
Hey.
And it's a language problem because we don't have that aorta's tense in our structure.
Yeah.
But take it. It's there. It's beating in your chest.
Yeah.
It's boom. It's right. All day long, all night. It doesn't stop.
Right.
And so that's what we can.
That reminds me of what I think is something really astounding. When I first heard him say it, I fell out of my chair. Paul was a believer for 21 years before he wrote his
first. Before he started. Yeah.
Right.
21 years.
He wanted to know.
And he said, I die daily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's there every morning. It's
yeah.
back.
Yeah.
It's back.
Yeah.
There I am.
Yeah.
But I think in that 21 years, Paul also recognized something that Paul had a purpose. He set his eyes and he focused on the prize and he wanted to go. In that country, in that culture, sports was a big thing. Also, I beat my body daily. Then I started thinking, what does it mean to beat your body dead? In other words, he's beating his body into that, to dying to himself, so that that spirit comes alive in him, brings forth the life from him.
Yeah.
That God had placed in him.
It's like being tempered.
That's the same thing Martin Luther did.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah, it's like a knife that's put in the fire and then beat,
right.
You know, and that's the only way it'll be any good.
That's right.
It's worthless without it, and then it's
and
honed.
That's what we're doing.
That's right. It's sharpened.
Right here.
All the crap taken out.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Goose pimples. Witness. The goose pimple witness.
You were mine, Gary.
What's her name again?
Your Bible says tonight, or her name is Diane.
Diane. Did you just find this out or something?
She had it diagnosed about 3 months ago, got on some drugs and they didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of came back and...
Okay.
So,
Diane.
I got a word. They left her body last night.
Yeah, they hope
so. Good.
They left her body.
Amen.
There you go. Praise God.
Gary, okay. Before we break, memorial service for Pop Dad is tonight at 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I really need some help in the lyrics.